Glory to God. You get to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight. You know, you could just stop right there. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm going to read a few other translations. It says, this is the Phillips translations. It says, fight the worthwhile battle of faith. Keep your grip on that life eternal to which you have also been called and to which you boldly professed your loyalty. If Paul had to say, take hold or grab tightly, that means what? We could possibly let go, couldn't we? That means we could let go. We could loosen our grip on something. So we've got to do what? It says, and the New Living says, hold tightly. So when the devil comes with opposition, it's to keep putting what? Pressure, 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 pressure. And what happens? You start to loosen. You start to let go. You get tired. There's pressure mentally. There's pressure in your life that you just say, you know what? I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. And you begin to do what? Relax your grip. And that's what it's meant to do. Because he can't just come in and defeat you. He's already defeated. He's already disarmed. We've been delivered out and from under his control. Amen. He has no control over you. Amen. But he can put pressure. He can keep putting the pressure on and putting the screws to you. And you do what? You relax your hold. You say, just like Eve did God really mean this? Did he really mean he would supply all my needs? Did he really mean I have been redeemed from the curse of the law? Did he really mean that? And you begin to relax your grip or your stand against him. That goes for all of us. Because the pressure can be so real, you taste it. The pressure's not just some figment. It is real. It's up in your face. And it looks like, in the natural, it's not going to change. And there's no way it possibly could change. But God's word has been forever settled in heaven. And you need to settle it that God said he would never leave you or forsake you, and he won't forsake his word. See? So this is where we are, and there's a fight. Think about this. God has promised his covenant people, Israel, he promised them the promised land. He gave it to them. He said, I've given you the land. And then what did he say? Go in, and I've just given it. He said, go in and do what? Take it. It's no different today. All the promises of God that have been bought and paid for by Jesus have been given to us, but that grace, that promise has been given to us, but it must be taken and possessed by what? Faith. And there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be a fight to receive these promises. promises of God. Why? Because we're here in this earth. You got a devil who's the god of this world, and he's going to push and push up against you. And he's going to work at your mind. He's going to work in the natural realm and create circumstances to oppose you. But you've got to make a determination. I'm holding tightly to God and his promises, and I'm laying hold. See, there's some folks in here that are loosening their grip, and you need to say, no, God said it, he promised it, I take hold of it. And Satan, you get out of my life, get out of my body, get out of my home, in Jesus' name. And you rise up, in Jesus' name. He's the defeated one. And all he's trying to get you to do is let go of your faith. That's all he's got. He can't override your faith. He's trying to get you to let go, to loosen your grip. And you say, no, I'm not doing it. I don't care what it looks like. The power of God in an instant can change your dead body. What does it say? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is quickening my mortal body. It's giving life to this body. Hallelujah. I don't care what it looks like. Here's another thing. The doctors, when you go to the doctors, don't get ornery, but if they're not hearing from God, they're hearing from an adversary, they're working by what they think they know, they're limited. Be led by the Spirit of God, because they will fight your faith. They'll tell you you're crazy. And I'm not here to tell you you shouldn't go to the doctor. Be nice, but put your trust in God and his word. Hallelujah. Put your trust, because see here, if you begin to relax your grip, you begin to do what? Vacillate. You begin to waver. And any man that wavers will not receive, as they say, a cotton picking thing. You won't receive from God. And that's what he's trying to get you to do, is to vacillate, question, loosen your grip, say no. Stir your spirit up and stand up and rise up, what? Against him. What does it say, James 4:7? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll just hang around. No, he'll flee. Well, all of us want that. We want him to flee. We don't want pressure. We don't want stuff. So if we want the stuff to flee, we're going to have to submit to the word. That means take hold of it and don't loosen your grip. Brother Hagin used to say it another way. He'd say, be like a bulldog on a pan, just and don't let go. And you know, that all sounds good. But when you're by yourself at midnight and there's nobody around, or you're by yourself on a job and there's no other Christian friends, it sounds good, like, yeah, I'm going through the land, I'm going through and over. But when you're by yourself, he starts working on you. And the pressure's there. And it's real. Don't you loosen your grip. Hold tightly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, one of the things that this faith fight, Pam, you get to the place where, you know, when you see, when the pressure's there, this is, I believe this is over in Luke. Let me just bear with me a second here. Because I think this is something I just thought about here a second. Right. Turn to Luke 22. Look at verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. You know, when the Lord says your name twice, it usually that means something, right? Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may do what? Sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you sift something, and he's talking about sifting wheat, it's meant to do what? Separate. When you sift, it's meant to separate something. What was he trying to do? He's trying to separate him from his faith. And that's what he's trying to do when he tries to sift us as wheat. He tries to get you separated from your faith through the pressure. Hallelujah. But we're not going to have it. I know, you know, we walk through periods of time where it's dark. That's why it's important, even like here, where the Lord said, where Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. There are times that we're going to walk through some periods that we may start to loosen our grip. That's where it's important to hear from God, to pray and intercede for one another. I remember after going through a period about 15 years ago, I was home and I was having this stomach symptom, and I was home for about 2 weeks, and one night, I felt like I was slipping out of my body. It just felt that way. And it didn't feel right. And I was going to call the 911, and I said, no, I'm just going to hang here and walk through this. And I had been keeping my confession and so forth steady. And, of course, that was during that period of time where the Lord said, if you don't go to the doctor and have your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. So in that period, I felt like I was slipping physically. And a young lady told me months after that, it was a while, she said, you know, and I share something, I said, sure. She said, the Lord woke me up on this date at this time, and told me if I didn't get up and pray that you were going to leave. And I was slipping. And so she did pray. And I remember that night. I said, what night was that? About what time was that? And I went, phew, that was it. So I share that to say that there are times we can walk through some things. We need the support and prayers. If you think you got through everything just by you, you're sorely mistaken. So there are times that we're going to fight some things, and the devil wants to separate us, sift us, so that we do what? Loosen our grip on our faith in God and question Him. Question some of the things that God has promised us. Things that we've even experienced, the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and now we've got this pressure and we're beginning to question, I know He did it this time, but I don't know. And He gets you to question and loosen your grip. Don't do it. He's the defeated one. One of the things that we talk about here with, let's go back and look at 1 Timothy 6 again. When you look at this particular scripture, in this same verse, it talks about fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold or hold tightly, grab onto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession. Or you've got a good confession. It's all in the same context. So this fight of faith is revolving around a good confession, a good profession of God's word. So our faith, the fight that we have is maintaining this good confession, this confession of faith that we have in God and in His promises. So, just want to highlight this, that John, in the Gospel of John, it says, God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But He is a spirit. We are made in His image and likeness. So you can see even that everything that we see, things seen were not made by things which do appear. Everything was spoken into existence by God. He is a spirit that speaks, and so are you. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body, but you are a spirit that speaks. And the things that you speak must be in faith. But I'll tell you this. What does it say in Proverbs 18? Why don't you turn over there and look at it? Proverbs 18, in verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You are a spirit that speaks, and death and life is going to come out of this tongue. And you will be satisfied by it. So God has made us in His image and likeness, and we are to speak words of faith. Well, that's what pleases Him. but you could speak words of death. And that's really what the devil wants you to do, is to relax your hold on eternal life. Relax your hold on the words of life and release words of death. Doubt, fear, anxiety. But we can release words of faith. We can release words of overcoming. We can release words of victory. But see, he wants you, through pressure, he wants you to relax that, change that, question that. See? How many are getting stirred up to say, no, if we've relaxed a little bit, if you think for one second that we're just going to march merrily into this mall over here without some opposition, you are sorely mistaken. Because there's much at stake there. God said, what did he say? The people that I'm sending. That's what the devil doesn't want us to reach. He doesn't want us to reach people to minister to them. So if he can just keep you here, you never reach the people. Now, yes, we have all this space that's not filled, but he said, the people that I'm sending won't fit in here. So there's something that he wants to do, but it's going to, he's already given it to us. He's already promised it, but it has to be taken by faith. Hallelujah. You might be going through some things at home, in your marriage. Those things, you know, some folks, they'll say, you know, I knew I was supposed to marry that person, but boy, it's been hell. It's going to take F-A-I-T-H to walk in the promises of God. He's promised us health and healing. He's promised us prosperity, but it's going to take faith to receive them. He's given us peace that passeth all understanding. But he also said what? Be anxious for nothing. And what'll happen if you're not anxious? And he says, the peace of God. If you do all these things, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will do what? Keep your what? Your heart and your mind. See? So the devil is fighting that we loosen our grip. And I'll tell you, when you waver, God isn't happy. He's not pleased. What pleases God? Wavering doesn't please God. Vacillating doesn't please God. Faith pleases him. And this is a good fight of what? Faith. And we're to do what? Hold tightly. Hold tightly. Don't loosen your grip. Hallelujah. Let's turn over, just look at a couple of scriptures here. Let's go over to Hebrews for a moment, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. And look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our what? Our profession, Christ Jesus. He is the apostle and high priest over your confession, or your profession." Look at verse 6 in that chapter. "But Christ, as the Son over his own house, whose house are we?" What? What does it say after that? If there's a condition, if we do what? Hold fast. Say hold fast. Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the what? Hope firm unto the end. You got to hold fast. Hold fast. Say hold fast. Hold fast the confidence. That's faith talking right there. Hold fast the faith and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Look at verse 14. What does it say? "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence," what? "Steadfast." When? "Unto the end." So we got to hold fast. We've got to be steadfast with our confidence in him till when? The end. He's going to try to pressure you to relax and let go and loosen your grip of your confidence. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. You're right there. Go to just look at chapter 4. Look at verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God," do what? "Let us hold fast our" what? So he's saying, hold fast. Hold fast your confession. Don't let go. Don't loosen your grip on that. Don't relax it. Don't vacillate. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 22 and 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 and 23. "Let us draw near with" what? "A true heart in full assurance of faith," right? Full assurance. Say full assurance. That means there's no doubt. There's full assurance, confidence, right? If you're fully assured of something, there's no wavering. "Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water," do what? "Let us hold fast" what? What are you holding fast to? The profession of our faith with what? Without wavering. Why? "For he is faithful that promised." Oh boy. He's faithful that promised. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you want to win, you can't waver. You can't waver in your confession. Now, we've all been there. We have. So you just repent. Say, "God, I missed it here. I'm going to just grab hold." Grab hold. If you've missed it, take hold and don't loosen your grip. Amen. This is where he fights. He fights this. And it's nonstop. Some here, they feel like they've been under this weight. That's what it's intended to do, to make you loosen your grip. Question God. Question His promises concerning you. And you can taste it. It's real. Some of you here are ready to just throw the towel in. Say, I've had it. I can't take this anymore. You need to rise up and put the word of God back in your mouth and say, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. And I'm reminding you, Mr. Devil, you're defeated. You can't have my body. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. You can't have my family. You can't have my children. You can't touch my finances anymore. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. You are defeated. I am redeemed. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. You're off limits to my body. You're off limits to my family. You're off limits to my children. Fill your mouth with the power of God's word. For therein lies the power of God. Fill it with faith-filled words. He must flee. He's got to go. You know, when you look at what happened, there was a whole group of doubters that didn't want to go in and questioned whether they could take the promised land. But you had two that rose up and said, we're going to take it. Do I have any takers here today? Do I have any takers, or do I have any waverers? You know, and if you find yourself, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm feeling weak here. I need somebody. Just remind me. Help me. Speak to me. Speak some words of life to me. The devil, see, this is what we find, is that the devil keeps putting pressure on people to the place where he gets them isolated. Think about Peter. When he said, oh, yes, Lord, I'll follow you to the end. He was real brash about that, wasn't he? He had no concept that Jesus would be taken. It didn't turn out the way he thought it would. And he said, I'm going with you to the end. I'll die. And then when he got a little pressure put on him, what happened? He denied him. He questioned and denied Jesus. Because of the pressure, and he got isolated from his group, didn't he? He's all by himself. They're ready to kill him. They got murder in their eyes. And he's like, oh, I don't know him. So the devil will try to get you isolated and begin to question. But when you feel isolated, that is not the time to be alone. That is the time to get together with your brothers and sisters, somebody to help you. Talk, get your faith built up. Have somebody remind you of who you are. Get into agreement with you. Pray for each other. Because the times that we're living in, the devil does not want unity. He wants to sift and to isolate and fragment. He does not want us to come together in unity and in love. He doesn't want us to pray for one another. He wants us to bicker about stuff or, man, what's going on with so-and-so? But we are going to lay hold and take the promises of God. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. Who's your adversary? The devil. As a roaring lion does what? Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What does this say? Whom resist steadfast. Say steadfast. Immovable. You're steadfast. In what? The faith. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're to do what? Resist steadfast in the faith. This is what he's trying to get at. He's trying to sift you apart from your faith. Because that will, what does it say? Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He's defeated. Listen to this. This is the Barclay translation in verse 9. You must resist him with a rock-like faith. The Weiss translation. Stand immovable against his onset, solid as a rock in your faith. Be solid, immovable, not wavering, not vacillating. Rock solid in your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why when we just feed ourselves a little bit and we come to service on Sunday, and I'll see you next Sunday, with the kind of things that are going on and the resistance that you're confronted with, you need to constantly be feeding your faith, feeding your faith, feeding your faith, feeding your faith. Limiting what goes in these ear gates and eye gates. Watching what you're listening to, watching what you're reading. Because at stake is your faith. That's what he's after. He's after your faith. And you think, oh, that's no big deal. Yeah, but when the pressure's on, it is a big deal. It's a big deal. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. You go away from here today, you square your shoulders back, stand up tall, and you say, I submit to God. I'm resisting him. He's not stealing from me anymore. I'm not wavering in my stand with God. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 35. We're talking about sifting. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to sift you from him? Nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Wow. Through him that loved us. Hallelujah. For I am what? Persuaded. See, that's what we were talking about before. Be steadfast, confident in your faith. Be persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And how does your faith work? By love. Hallelujah. And you cannot be separated from the love of God. And that love will cause your faith to grow and work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. You're just going to have to just, this is a fight of faith. But you win. In all these tribulations and trials, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loved us. Hallelujah. The devil is fighting us to question. You know, when there is, think about David. When he faced Goliath, there was a spirit about that young man. He didn't question. He didn't vacillate. He ran towards him and said, I'm taking you down today. There was a spirit of faith. I like to call it a spirit of faith. This wasn't knowledge of faith. This wasn't, you know, an understanding. This was a spirit about them, and it's the same thing. There's a spirit of faith. When that becomes engaged, the confidence is there. There's no questioning. And the devil keeps trying to work so that you do what? You relax and let it go. That's what the Lord is saying today. He said, rise up and stand in your position in me. Rise up. Don't be weighed down with these trials. Rise up in faith. Rise up and stand against him. Resist him. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. We can't, you know, God can't do it for you. You have to possess the land through your faith in grace. The things that were provided through grace have to be secured and possessed by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Let this stir your heart. Feed on it. If you're here today and you're walking through some stuff, rise up. Stand up in Him. Stand up in Him and resist Him. Resist him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for your word and the power of your word. Thank you that these words are received in our spirit, and we will rise up and stand against the devil. We will rise up and stand in him. And we will take the territories that you've designed us to take. We will take the land personally and ministry. We will take back that which the devil has stolen. He can't have our bodies anymore. He can't have our minds. He can't have our families. He can't have our finances anymore. He can't have that which you've promised us. In the name of Jesus, he can't have this nation. We will rise up and stand in him. In Jesus' name. We will resist him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you that it shall be done in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless God. You know, when you get enough pressure and you get tired enough, you will stand up. You will rise up. Hallelujah. I desire to see a change in this county, in this state. And there has been control of people and darkness in this area that needs to be resisted and prayed and worshiped out of here. To cause the atmosphere to change so that people can see the goodness of God. But it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a faith fight. And we need not just lay back and say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't God's will. He would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He desires all men to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered. And we're going to reach them. In Jesus' name. We're going to reach him in this area. We're going to pray and intercede and rise up and resist that which has taken hold in this area. Jesus is going to be lifted up. Hallelujah. Just before we dismiss, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you know, you can be a good person, but being good is not going to get you into heaven. It's going to take the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice and the cross. And you're accepting of that and accepting of that sacrifice and accepting of what Jesus did to become born again and secure your place in heaven. But it's easy. All you have to do is believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you're born again. You become a new creature.